Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson once said that the clash of ideas is the sound of freedom, and in that spirit, we will seriously wrestle with important ideas, and we might even disagree with one another. In fact, I'm pretty sure today we will. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. And by the way, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Frederick Faith Debate, All Shred, Mobile Document Destruction. Shredding today for growth tomorrow. They sell security. That's All Shred. Thank you for your support. And we hope that you business folks out there listening right now, that you'll support All Shred. Today's topic is something I'm gonna back into here for a minute. Anybody who's listened to this show before knows that I come at things from a Christian perspective, but not all Christians agree on everything that encompasses the body of Christianity. I have friends that I greatly respect that know way more about theology in the Bible and are probably more devout than I am. That would never in a million years dream of speaking in tongues. And I have friends who are near and dear to me who know way more about theology in the Bible and are probably more devout than I am that tell me that they have spoken in tongues and it's an important part of their prayer time and their worship time. I personally have never spoken in tongues. I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. And you know what? I'm willing to bet that I'm in the majority in my lack of clarity on what to make of this. And so, with that in mind, a couple of guys who have bravely decided to jump into these waters and discuss it. They're coming from a slightly different view, I think. I think that John Schweitzer, who is the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in Frederick, is probably going to be on the pro side, and that Drew Boswell, the pastor of Daybreak Community Church in Newmarket, is probably going to be somewhere on the con side, although I don't know exactly how firmly in those camps they are. We'll figure that out as we go. I'm going to start with the pro side. John Schweitzer, thank you again for being on the show this week.
Thank you for having me.
And for your help in the continued growth and success of this program. Those who would speak in tongues do so with what sort of biblical foundational argument behind them supporting speaking in tongues?
I think that the strongest argument for speaking in tongues is where Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's chapter 12, he says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. And I think that what we're going to find today, Drew and I, as we talk, is the question of whether or not, what exactly is tongues, and two, the question of whether or not they have ceased. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is prophecy, it will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will cease. And it says, when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. And I think that we're going to discuss whether or not tongues has disappeared, and that we're going to discuss a little bit about what exactly it is if it has not disappeared. And I'm of the opinion that that we should not forbid it, and that it is a useful tool in the life of the believer as the Holy Spirit causes growth in his life. And as the believer comes to an increasing understanding of the ongoing purposes of God in our lives and through study of Scripture and obedience to the Word of God. So
Before I turn to Drew to have him respond to that, because I did want to ask you a follow-up question. You anticipated it.
Okay.
I asked you for the foundation.
Yep.
You've given me at least one point of foundation would be from Scripture. But what is tongues?
I would say that tongues is a language. It's a spiritual language given by God. It could either be a human language or a language of angels. And it is a language given by God to communicate with God and potentially then to one another for the purpose of communicating things, spiritual things that a person doesn't quite yet understand fully with their own mind. And so it's an ability for a person to communicate with God about an idea that God wants the person to know, but the person doesn't yet have the language to communicate it. I think it was Einstein that said that intelligence is the ability to communicate what we're thinking. The point is, we all have thoughts that at times we can't communicate. We don't know how to communicate them because they're kind of around the corners of our mind, and we grapple for the language to communicate them with. And that tongues is a language given by God for the purpose of communicating spiritual truths between God and a man until such a time as that individual is able to put human language to it.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me, but what do I know? Drew, what do you make of that, you know, idea of what tongues is, and what right. and if you wanted to respond to the, you know, I don't know if there's any sort of parsing in the scripture reference in 1 Corinthians that John brought up that you might want to comment on too. I don't know, but
yeah,
in general,
as far as like a historical viewpoint of what tongues is, I would reference Acts chapter 2 where it talks about the apostles were gathered in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and they were referred to as being drunk and different things, and he says no, you know, and then later on it's reference that there were people from all over the surrounding areas that were there and realized that the disciples were actually speaking in their own language. They were saying, how is it that they know my language if these men are from, you know, different parts of the world? So the speaking in tongues reference that are in Acts is a reference to known languages, known tongues. So if you were if you didn't speak Japanese, for example, and you heard someone for the first time speaking it, you would think they were talking something crazy or drunk or whatever as they were referenced to, but actually they're speaking a language you just simply don't know. And because of the makeup of the people, they spoke multiple languages. They spoke Greek. They spoke other languages just because that was the culture of the day. Now, with the reference to additional revelations from God, this is a question I had to see what your interpretation would be. Like, do people continue to receive revelation from God as far as the way in which they're able to communicate? Does God communicate truth through people in the form of tongues that they in turn would need to give over to the local congregation or the body?
I think you're grappling with the question of whether or not God still brings prophecy. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Meaning specifically extra biblical prophecy, things that would be considered divine inspiration, but it's beyond what Scripture says.
Right. Well, you have the example of someone having speaking in tongues, and then you'd have to have an interpretation of that tongue within the church service. Is that kind of what you guys hold to?
Well, that is in fact another whole discussion. I think there's not a Christian group out there that doesn't believe that God still speaks to individuals. Billy Graham says that he had a call from God in his life.
Right,
God divinely spoke to him. All right, and so when we're dealing with tongues, just like any other communication from God, mm-hmm. we're dealing with a prophetic word. In fact, what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 14, he says that everyone who prophesies speaks to men for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, and that he who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. And the sense there is that an interpreted tongue is basically a prophetic word. And the term for prophecy, the term for prophetic word, is merely speaking forth the word of God. It's not... It doesn't, in my mind, carry the connotation that like if somebody were to sit in a church service and copy down all these prophetic words that were being given, that they could like create a new book of the Bible. I don't consider them divinely inspired in that sense. In fact, I would say that any and everything that is spoken in a spontaneous way in a church service is always first and foremost tested against the Word of God as we have it. The point being that the Word of God is the foundation. However, God can give insight. For example, we are clearly in a with the tsunami and different things going on. We're clearly in a time where there's immediate events going on that you and I and every other Christian out there are trying to figure out what's going on and who's responsible for what. And I'd say that at some level, God is still speaking to hearts, giving us insight that we could consider credible into why things happen and when they happen. And yet that's not like something that we would write down and say that's divinely inspired, but it would be kind of like we study Calvin's writings, or we study Luther's writings, or we study Billy Graham's writings, you know, because there was a measure of inspiration in today's language that seemed to help us to understand what the ongoing word of God is in application. I don't know if that goes beyond answering what you...
I just want to take just a second to explain kind of my viewpoint on tongues. If my belief is that during the New Testament times, what Paul is referencing is that you have the you have God revealing Scripture to, let's say, Paul, and then Paul had the original writings that he wrote down, and then that was rolled up and then was passed to the next church, Jerusalem or whatever, Antioch, and so on, and they would hand copy that scroll or that New Testament book, and then that book would be passed on to the next church. And so you have a time period in which the books were, the original documents were going from church to church to church to make original copies. And so there was a period of time after Christ died, and you have the revelation of Scripture, and then you have the beginnings of the New Testament to be written. You didn't have the entire Bible, so you didn't have the whole inspired Word of God that you could go to and reference. And so then you would have people that God would tell, you know, they would speak in tongues, and that's why you have this, you know, only one at a time, and you have these rules and things that are kind of laid out. But my belief is that once the New Testament was complete and we have the book in which it's given to us now, there's no need for additional revelation from God or no need for further explanation of things, because I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, in that it is entirely fulfilled and we have everything that God has intended for us to have. So if we need a word of wisdom, or we need to figure out what's going on, then we go to the Bible and we reference it.
Okay, cool. John, if we've got, you know, he makes an interesting point. If we have the Bible's done, it's finished, what more need is there for these additional revelations that would come to us through tongues?
Great.
What's your answer to that?
The passage that that you're referring to there, Drew, is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, where it says, verse 8, where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfect comes, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And that is the passage that theologians use to claim that tongues have passed away. The problem with that is that I look at my church, and I look at your church, and I look at the body of Christ out there. I look at the planet, and I see a couple things. I see knowledge clearly has not passed away, and I see that perfection is far from present. And if that's the case, then I don't see any passage in Scripture that would lead me to believe that God is no longer looking to reveal himself to mankind. Rather, what I see is that that tongues and knowledge and prophecy are still here to lead us to perfection. So I guess my question to you would be, has the perfection come?
No, I mean, no one's perfect, and our churches aren't perfect, but God's Word is, and that's what we reference to our sources of conflict or sources of imperfections as we go to God's Word, and it is our foundation. It's everything in which we base our lives upon. And so I don't think that just because we're imperfect, we should look elsewhere for wisdom or whatever.
Okay, but I'm just asking about this particular passage in 1 Corinthians 13, where it's saying, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And then he says this, all in context, he says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
And the overall reference to that is in chapter 13, is though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I cannot, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. So it's So the focus of that is in our lives as Christians, we have to love. And it goes on to, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers all things and love never fails. And you have the love reference there. And then among that, you have the reference that you mentioned. And so I think that's the overall emphasis of this passage, is that love as a as something that should be characteristic of a Christian's life.
And in fact, that's the that's what all of Corinthians is about. The problem with the Corinthian church was that they were selfish, in a word, and the way that they participated in communion. Apparently, they some people would get drunk on the communion wine, and some people were coming, and their only meal for like a couple days was the communion bread. And so the way that they were going about their church service, apparently they had some tongue speakers that were mimicking the ecstatic tongue speaking of some of the local pagan cults. And apparently there was like moms sleeping with their daughter's husband. I mean, it was a very sinful condition in a church that didn't understand love, right? And so the entire context of Paul addressing tongues here and dealing with spiritual gifts was to draw people to the reality that love is the center of all things. And in the middle of that, he speaks like any prophet ever does. You always speak to the highest levels of glory when you're in the midst of the lowest levels of inglory or the lowest levels of corruption. And this was the case in the Corinthian church. They didn't love one another. They didn't understand how to maturely love one another. And so as a result, in the midst of this, Paul reaches up and he sees the perfection. He sees the glory like a prophet will tend to do. And in seeing the glory, he describes this love. And then in speaking to that, he says, one day the perfect's going to come, and we're not even going to need knowledge. We're not going to need tongues. We're not even going to need prophecy. These three will remain, faith, hope, and love. But you know what? Faith and hope aren't even going to be important. What's going to be important is love. And so the context there is that one day we're going to have that. And clearly, we do not have that now. And so if that's the case, then we still have these gifts. Like, for example, where it says in Ephesians that Ephesians chapter 4, I didn't think that we would go there, but where it says chapter 17 that Christ has given the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor teacher to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The gifts, whether it's in Corinthians or whether it's in Ephesians or whether it's in Romans chapter 12, all the gifts are given by God to help the church come to its fullness. And the point being that we are not there.
If
And we won't be until Christ returns.
All right. By the way, I'll let you go in a second, Drew. I hate to jump in and disrupt this, but I need to let people listening know what they're listening to. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The panel today is the ever-feisty John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel and the soon-to-learn-to-be-feisty Drew Boswell, pastor of Daybreak Community Church in Newmarket. And the subject we're talking about, in case you haven't exactly been following, is the gift of tongues. Does it still exist? Should it still be practiced? John Schweitzer is of the view that it does still exist and should be still practiced, and Drew has a different view from that. And I want to let you have a chance to respond directly to what John just said, but either in responding to John or after you're finished responding to John, I'd also like you to address the question. I'm asking the question now because I'm afraid I won't get a chance to jump in later.
Good.
Address the question of those in the Christian community who are going to say that the gift of tongues, and maybe some other gifts too, but the gift of tongues specifically for this conversation, no longer exists. And yet you have a significant portion of the body of Christ saying that not only does the gift live on, but that I personally have practiced it and continue to, and my church does. You know, if they're not speaking in tongues, what are they doing? And is there anything dangerous or inherently wrong with that?
Okay, let me do the, can I do the Ephesians passage
Absolutely,
first?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
John referenced the Ephesians 4:11 passage where God has called some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure. In other words, God has given certain spiritual gifts to the body, and specifically individuals, like the pastor teacher there is the pastor, the overseer, the bishop, whatever you want to call him. And then you have evangelists and other things. And those, I believe, are reference to offices that God has given to the church over a period of time. For a little longer. Specifically evangelists or prophets, for example, or apostles, we know we no longer have apostles.
We know that? Yes. I would disagree with
okay,
you.
Okay, well, that's another issue,
profoundly,
I guess.
Profoundly on that.
Okay, and we no longer have prophets. That's Old Testament reference.
I would disagree
reference.
With you profoundly on that.
Evangelists.
That's a New Testament.
Evangelists, we might discuss. Pastor, teacher, I believe we still have today. But even if we say they're here, they're not here, whatever, their purpose is to equip the saints for works of ministry.
Amen.
All right, so that's kind of what I believe.
Until we work, that word again, perfect, I think is the key word.
Right, we're going to keep teaching.
Yes.
That's the purpose
Amen.
Of that passage.
Amen.
Is that their point is to teach, not so much to speak
to
in
prophesy,
to speak in tongues.
To apostle, to do all those things.
Those are all references to holding positions. And the pastor is a reference to what they do, a shepherd, an overseer, an oversight, so on. So I believe that that's more of a reference to God giving specific people to specific bodies for the specific purpose of teaching.
What's interesting, in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, the three passages where these gifts are talked about, in every single one of those passages, the context is the body coming to perfection. And so the idea behind all those things is exactly the same. I do agree that Ephesians, it's specifically office gifts. Romans tends to be motivational gifts. And Corinthians tends to be charisms, or specifically dealing with more dynamic, spontaneous gifts. But in all of those situations, the goal is the same, which it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that love, that we would be built up in love, that we would come to the perfect man, that we would be restored to perfection.
Right.
And we're not there yet, so then I have no reason, at least biblically, I have no reason to think that those things have passed away. There's no passage that I've ever been shown that would give me a criteria by which I would say that we have arrived, therefore these things should have passed away.
Now, reference to your question, Troy, as far as if people are practicing tongues, and I personally believe that they have passed away, then are they biblically wrong, or are they sinning, or are they? I don't believe so. Just because I don't necessarily believe.
Don't be kind about this.
Believe in that, then no, I don't hold to that. I just think they just don't hold the same belief as I do. I don't know why they're doing it. I know that if a person says, then you must speak in tongues to be saved, then that's not biblical. That is taking a step out and saying that.
I totally agree with you on
and
that.
So if we're going to come to a common ground on tongues, I would say that it is a spiritual gift of several spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives people. I don't believe that God gives everyone the same spiritual gift.
Amen. I agree with that.
Okay, so if speaking in tongues
Amen.
Is a spiritual gift, then everyone is not going to speak in tongues, because God doesn't give everyone the same spiritual gift. And the reason he doesn't do that is because the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the body, or we have to depend on each other, we help build each other up, and so on. So
the only reason why I would say, I wouldn't say that everybody has to speak in tongues biblically, or necessarily that everybody will.
That's good, because I haven't.
The reason why many charismatics are so strong about thinking that everybody should is that Paul says, I wish that every one of you spoke in tongues as much as I do. And that comment leads those who are inclined to believe that speaking in tongues is valuable and for today. It leads us to believe that that Paul thought it to be, one, very valuable, and two, that he genuinely, that he wasn't speaking facetiously there, but that he genuinely wished that all people had access to this gift. I think it's very possible that most of us at some level or other in our prayer time before God reach those points where we just don't know how to tell God what we're feeling, or don't know how to cry out to God to ask him for the help that we feel like we need. We don't even know how to express it.
And so whereas you would use I would reference scripture and believe that God, if we just don't know what to say, then we go to scripture and God has told us everything. And so if I don't know what to say with reference to God, I'm overwhelmed with the circumstance, I simply go to his word and look up Psalms and read through the Psalms or reference a particular issue. That would be, I think, where we would disagree.
Well, I would actually recommend that as well, though. And
we're finding actually quite a bit of common ground. I mean, you guys might not feel it because you're in the throes of arguing a particular point, but
or discussing.
Arguing not in an argumentative sense, the higher learning kind of argumentative form.
Yeah,
thing,
grappling with
you know
the issues,
grappling
right?
with the issue. But there from somebody who's stepped back a little bit myself and kind of watching you guys go back and forth, there's actually quite a bit of common ground. It sounds like, you know, John is saying if you're going to speak in tongues, it's got to be for the edification of the church. It's all about teaching. And Drew, you were saying that you don't believe that tongues is still a gift that God gives. But when he did give it, it was all about edifying the church and for teaching.
Right.
So there's some common ground. It's just a question of whether or not it carries on. We're getting close to running out of time in the show, but it doesn't sound like I'm hearing that this is a cause for a divide among Christian brothers. Christian brothers and sisters can disagree on this issue and still be good Christian brothers and sisters. Maybe they would congregate in different areas, who knows? But this isn't something that you would point a finger at someone and say, well, you're not a Christian because you don't believe in tongues, or you're not a Christian because you do believe in tongues. Is that
fair? In fact,
fair?
I think what ties us together, Drew, you can tell me if I'm right, is that if I in some way felt like tongues allowed us to go beyond what Scripture says in some way, I think you would have to vehemently resist what I was saying.
Right.
However, as long as we keep the Word of God as the highest authority, I think that's probably the reason why we can still be together.
And we're going to leave it on that point. Thanks so much, gentlemen. Next week, discussing the Passion of the Christ on News Radio 930 WFMD.
With passion, by the way.